Micah chapter 1, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 7. And out of reverence to God, please stand as his word is read. Micah chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. The word of the Lord that came to Micah, the Moreshite, what he saw regarding Samaria and Jerusalem in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Listen, all you peoples, pay attention, earth, and everyone in it. The Lord God will be a witness against you. The Lord, from his holy temple. Look, the Lord is leaving his place and coming down to trample the heights of the earth. The mountains will melt beneath him, and the valleys will split apart like wax near a fire, like water cascading down a mountainside. All this will happen because of Jacob's rebellion and the sins of the house of Israel. What is the rebellion of Jacob? Isn't it Samaria? And what is the high place of Judah? Isn't it Jerusalem? Therefore, I will make Samaria a heap of ruins in the countryside, a planting area for a vineyard. I will roll her stones into the valley and expose her foundations. All her carved images will be smashed to pieces. All her wages will be burned in the fire, and I will destroy all her idols. Since she collected the wages of a prostitute, they will be used again for a prostitute. You may be seated. Wednesday, we started our study in the book of Micah, and Micah was a book that records the message of God given to Micah about the time 700 years before the birth of Christ. So almost 3,000 years ago, this was written. But the events that it recounts and the situation are very similar to today. The situations that were happening then, we have happening now. We have people ignoring what God says and pretending that he doesn't exist. At the same time, we have other people pretending to worship God and ignoring what he says. We have people setting up false forms of religious worship, calling it many different things. And we have God saying he's going to bring judgment. God also has a message for us today from the book of Micah. It's not just for the people at his time. It's also for us now. And we'll see that a little bit more. But the outline of the book of Micah, God's message is for everyone. And it has a message of God's judgment. And God also talks about his promises of peace, his promises of salvation, and his promises of a Messiah. It is from the book of Micah that the birthplace of Jesus in Bethlehem is foretold. And that was clear even at the time of the birth of Jesus, when the Magi came from the east asking where the King of the Jews would be born. The religious leaders said, oh, that's an easy one. Micah says it's going to be in Bethlehem. But at the time of Jesus' birth, there were no religious leaders waiting in Bethlehem for the King of the Jews to be born. They were in Jerusalem. There were people in the time of Micah that weren't waiting on God's message or messenger. God has a message for us from the book of Micah. And it starts out in verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Micah the Moreshite. Notice it wasn't Micah had a message. No, the word of the Lord. That is the source. Last week, I saw an event that happened in the Mall of America. Now, the Mall of America is a mall, three stories high, huge, in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Inside of it, there's an amusement park, Camp Snoopy. And you got Ferris wheels and you got roller coasters. You even have a log plume ride. Now, think about Minnesota. It can be 40 degrees below zero outside, and you're riding a log plume ride inside. All kind of stores there. My favorite is up on the third floor, Rebeski's Cheese Shop. Wisconsin cheese. And I like it because they give you samples. And so you can go by and get a little sample, and then you can't stop at a sample. You got to get something else. They know what they do in the store. I don't know where Rebeski's is still there, but that was my favorite stop when we lived in Minnesota. And the article I saw, a man was going shopping in Macy's wearing a shirt saying Jesus saves. The mall security told him he had to leave or take the shirt off because his shirt is offensive. Well, just a few weeks before, in the rotunda of the mall, they had hosted a homosexuality event. So everybody could come display all their aberrant behavior. But that was okay. It doesn't matter that that offended somebody. Which reminds me back to the time that we were in the Mall of America and we saw Arnold Schwarzenegger. If you've seen the movie Jingle All the Time, part of it was filmed in the Mall of America where he's in that little toy thing crawling through the tubes. Well, actually, he wasn't crawling through the tubes. It was a stunt double. Well, we knew when Arnold Schwarzenegger was coming up because we could smell the smoke of his cigar. The Mall of America is a smoke-free zone. But that didn't matter because Arnold Schwarzenegger is a star. And it doesn't matter if other people are offended or if he breaks a rule, but he's a star. So his way is okay. Well, this person wearing the Jesus Saves shirt wasn't going around witnessing other than wearing the shirt, but they considered the message of God that it was on his shirt to be offensive. That's what's happening in the time when Micah is preaching, giving God's message to the people of Samaria and Judah. Now, the people of Samaria, that's the northern 10 tribes called Israel. When King Solomon died, his son said, "You thought things were bad when my dad was in charge. I'm going to make things worse." And so 10 of the tribes left the United Kingdom of Israel and took and went and formed their own government up north, picked their own king, and two tribes remain in the south. That's called Judah. So we got Israel and Judah. And they made a new capital, Samaria, and made a place of worship of golden calf and to help people not have to go down to Judah, to Jerusalem, to worship in the temple. So when it talks about Samaria, that's talking about the northern 10 tribes and Jerusalem, the southern 10 tribes, those are their capitals. And Micah has a message. He's just the messenger. Some people, when we tell the truth of God, like Jesus saves, and Jesus only saves, we're not being narrow-minded. And it's not our opinion. We are giving the truth of God. Now, the truth of God is offensive to those who are perishing, but it's still the truth of God. It's not our opinion. We need to proclaim the truth because our world is desperate in need of hearing the truth, and we are messengers. Just like Micah, we have a message to take. People aren't going to want to hear it. They still need to hear it. And his initial audience was Samaria and Jerusalem. when Austin legislators or the legislature in Washington makes laws, those laws affect everyone under the jurisdiction. God's law affect all of us. And we are all responsible for God's law and accountable to it. There used to be a time when you broke the law, your punishment was in public. If you go to some of the early colonial, especially Puritan recreation, their settlement, they have a thing called the stocks. And it's where you put your head and your arms in there, and it would be in the town square. And people would know you did something wrong. People would be reminded, if they thought about breaking the law, they might end up in the stocks. Or worse, there used to be a time there were public executions in our country. Not to have people see the severe death of someone, but the consequences of wrongdoing. We've sanitized punishment where people don't see that there's punishment anymore. And then, verse 2, listen, all you people, pay attention, earth, and everyone in it. So if you think that this message in Micah is only meant to people of Jewish background, or to Israel and to Judah 3,000 years ago, no, God made it clear in his message. Everybody on the earth, everyone in it. When I was in the Navy, we had little speakers, sort of like the ones we got back here that we don't use anymore. The speaker's still good. They're just not connected to anything except in the hallway. And we called it the 1MC. And there'd be an announcement over it. Attention, all hands, general quarters, all hands to your battle stations might be one. Well, when they say all hands to your battle stations, that means you don't hit the snooze and take a nap a little bit longer, or you don't feel like going to your battle station. But it's a message that all people need to pay attention to that message. Some messages are not as important as going to your battle station when people are shooting at you. And did have that time when we were when I was in the Navy in the Persian Gulf War, but as I told many people, the safest place to be was wherever Saddam Hussein was aiming his missiles, because he could never hit his target. He hit all kind of other things, but never hit what he was aiming at. And my ship had a lot of protection on it, so we weren't that worried. But we still had to go to our battle stations at certain times. Well, God is calling everyone to pay attention to what he has to say. You need to listen to what God has to say. And then, what does it say? The Lord God will be a witness against you. If you've ever been in a courtroom or watched a show about courtrooms, you see they call witnesses up to give testimony. And how much credibility the witness has depends. Are they an expert in the area? Did they see what went on? Do they know what they're talking about? Are they in their right mind? Are they confused? Well, God says, I'm going to be the witness. I know what I'm talking about. I am in my right mind. I am not confused. And I have seen what's going on. You're not going to get a more expert witness in a courtroom than God himself. And he says, I have seen, and I am going to be the witness to say you did something. It's not Micah. It's not the king. It's not the other people. God himself is going to say, Jerusalem, Judah, Samaria, Israel, you have done wrong. And where is God? God is not limited to this planet. God is not limited to the temple in Israel, in Jerusalem. God has the whole world, the whole universe in his hand. Hubble telescope lets us see way out there. They've even got others that, using other type of imagery. You can see even further. Guess what? God's even further than that. As far as any telescope can see and beyond, God's got that all in his hands. And if you look at some of these stars, they have numbers and everything with them. This is HR 765. Or there's also one called Tamu. And I find out about that because you're not supposed to name a star after a college or anything. But the Texas A&M Astronomy discovered a star. And they say we're naming it after a whale, Tamu. They pulled one over on the people that list stars. So you got Texas A&M University up name one of the stars. Well, God knows everyone by name. Every one of those stars. And every little rock in the universe, God calls them all by name. He doesn't have a little chart of numbers. God knows them all. We sent little spaceship, little golf carts to go to Mars, to go around to look at rocks. God's already been there. God made all those rocks. And part of the reason I think he's letting us see all this is to go, wow. Look at what God did. Look at that interesting rock formation on the planet that nobody else has ever seen except God himself. God came down from his temple. And he is going to bring judgment. Says the mountains will melt beneath him. Nothing can withstand the power of God. God has given a warning that he's going to bring judgment. God brought judgment in the valley at the bottom of the Jordan River, a place we now call the Dead Sea. It was a fertile valley when Abraham came into the promised land with his nephew Lot. God blessed Abraham and Lot. Their flocks and herds were so prevalent, they said, we need to separate. Abraham said to Lot, if you go that way, I'll go this way. If you go this way, I'll go that way. And Lot looked down to the fertile valleys at the bottom of the Jordan, said, I'll go there where all the green grass is. Lot went down to Sodom and Gomorrah. But God saw the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he rained fire and brimstone. I've been there. It's not a green valley anymore. It's hot. Even so hot that I had my little shower shoes that I was going to use as sandals to go, because I went to a place called En Gedi. And there's a little spa there where you can get all the mineral waters and everything. And you can go out to the beach. So I took my little plastic shower shoes and walked out. They melted before I got to the beach. I finally did get in the water. I got a picture of me with my hands and feet up out of the water laying on my back. There's so much mineral content. You can almost do sit-ups in the water without your head going in the water. But nothing lives there anymore. It is called the Dead Sea because everything's dead in it. But that's where Sodom and Gomorrah used to be. There were places that were fertile, but chose to ignore God's command, and he brought fire and brimstone. In World War II, toward the end of the war in Europe had ended. We were fighting a war only in the Pacific against the Empire of Japan. The Emperor of Japan had told all his people, fight to the last person. Don't let them come in, invade our land. Every man, woman, and child needs to fight. The estimates would be that there would be over 2 million civilians in Japan die if the U.S. invaded, because they were going to fight. We had a bomb. And one thing you might not know, for 2 weeks before we dropped the atomic bomb, we dropped leaflets saying, here's a list of 7 cities that we're going to bomb, one of them. We have a bomb more powerful than all the other bombs that have been dropped. Move out of these 7 cities. And I have actually held one of those leaflets. There's a museum that I was able to go to a few years ago that let you hold. One of them looked like money, so when they, oh, like if you saw a $20 bill on the ground, you reach down and pick it up, and on the back side it was the message. There were others showing B-29 bomber. Said, we're going to drop a bomb. Move. We do not want to hurt any civilians. For 2 weeks, we dropped leaflets warning people to move. Take action. They didn't. Well, I don't know. Some people might have. And the bomb was dropped. Many people died. But they had been warned that a bomb was about to come. And what was left of the city was almost nothing. Judgment came. It is terrible that tens of thousands of people died. But the thing we don't often remember, tens of thousands died, and it was going to be millions. We use our judgment instead of God's. One person dying is terrible. God did not want anyone in Israel or Judah to go to hell because of their sin. So he warned them. He sent prophets, Micah, Malachi, Isaiah, Jeremiah, to warn, judgment is coming. Take action. And he's warning us today. Judgment's coming. When we live in a time when people, to quote the prophet Carmen, would rather come out of the closet than clean it, we are in desperate need of God's revival. But this is nothing new. People have been doing the same thing in the time of Micah, 3,000 years ago, in the time of Abraham. People are flaunting their sin and ignoring the one that comes to forgive sin. Some sins we in our humanness can say are worse than others. No sin is worse than another. The sin of murder is not any worse than the sin of lying. The sin of theft is not dependent on the value. It's still taking something that doesn't belong to you. And if we're guilty of breaking one of God's laws, we're guilty of breaking them all. and we deserve a punishment in hell. But Jesus Christ, God Himself, came to bring us forgiveness. Micah talks about the Messiah bringing salvation to save us. But we sometimes are like the people on the Titanic. We're safe. We can have enough lifeboats on the ship, but we don't need all those because our ship is unsinkable. Let's take off 2/3 of the lifeboats so that people on our cruise can have a better view. And so in England, a lot of the lifeboats remained behind when the ship sailed for New York. But just like the Titanic, we are headed for an iceberg of God's judgment. Judgment's coming. Micah is telling us that. And he says, Samaria, you're going to be an example. You're going to be a heap of ruins. And you can go there today and see the heap of ruins that used to be Samaria. You'll be a place of vineyards. If you know about vineyards, they grow best on mountainsides where there's a lot of sunlight. Well, all the buildings got taken down and thrown into the valley, just like Micah said, in 722 BC, when the Assyrian Empire came in and destroyed Samaria. There's still vineyards there on the side of those hills where there used to be a great capital city of Israel. God is not slow in keeping His promise, as some people understand slowness, but He is patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God gave an example of Samaria. They went into dispersion all throughout the world. That's why we have Jewish settlements all over the world. That's because the Assyrians, their philosophy was, don't let anybody be in their homeland. Move them out. So the land of Israel was vastly unpopulated until the 1940s. In 48, Israel became a nation again. Again, part of God's promise that He would draw everyone back. God keeps His promises. But God's not limited on the timetable like we are. School teachers, you have until May to get your students up to the standard they're supposed to be to graduate to the next level. Well, God is not limited by a school year. God is not limited by time. He does everything in His time. And He is giving a message to us to repent and to be like Micah and to share that message of repentance. And then He ends, or where we end this, is verse 7. All her carved images will be smashed to pieces. All her wages will be burned in the fire, and I will destroy all her idols. Since she collected the wages of a prostitute, they will be used again for a prostitute. In the red light districts of cities, there are people that are not trying to hide their sinful intentions. The prostitute is one that ignores God's plan and chooses for profit to ignore what's right. God is saying, Israel, since you chose to ignore what I was doing and prostituted yourself with other gods, I'm going to let the countries that worship these other gods have all your money. You've gathered all these resources and blessings because God has blessed you. And God said it's going to go to the pagans. You're just pretending to worship me. Let the people that are honest about not worshiping me have the resources. God uses sinful nations for his purposes. The pagan nation of Assyria was used as an instrument of God's justice. God uses sinful people, sinful nations, but he desires to bring forgiveness to all. The choice is for us. Are we going to be like Micah and speak the truth? Are we going to be like the Mall of America cop that says, take off that offensive message shirt, Jesus saves? Or are we going to be one that stands and says, I need to preach the message of truth? It's up to us. Judgment's coming. Are we ready? Are we warning people? Judgment's going to come. It doesn't matter what you pretend is true or not. Judgment is coming. And we have the good news. The good news is judgment's coming. That sounds bad. Because there's a way to avoid the wrath of God. 2,000 years ago, God himself, Jesus Christ, came, was born in a manger, or was born in a stable, laid in a manger. He wasn't born in the manger. I don't think Mary could have fit in there. But he came to bring forgiveness of our sin, to heal us. Micah's got a strong message for us today. Are we going to pay attention? Stand with me for our closing prayer. And as you depart, be sure you give Cheryl a hug or a thank you. This weekend is her 25th anniversary as our church secretary. So be sure to thank thank you. You forgot, huh? Okay. Well, I wrote it down in my brain. Okay. Okay. Lord, thank you for this time we could be here. I pray that we will be like Micah and stand firm, proclaiming the truth that people need to hear. Not being offensive in how we do it, but not backing down because the truth is offensive. Let us share your message of salvation because you love us, you love everyone, and you desire that no one perish. In Jesus' name, amen.